Title of the message is "Mary, Did You Know?" And it's a song that's that I am doing. It's a fairly recent song. I don't know. I thought maybe we were going to sing it. Are we going to sing it any time? No. What?
I'm doing it.
Okay. So I'll read the lyrics of it real quick. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Mary, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you're delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels tread? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, and praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The song was a fairly recent one, 1991. It was the lyrics were written by Mark Lowry, and the music was composed by Buddy Green in 1991. It was recorded by Michael English in 1991. It entered the music scene during the beginnings of praise music, and it was sung a lot, according to my research, by the Gaither Vocal Band. It was, like I said, a praise song. So it's a fairly recent Christmas carol. The lyrics ask the question, did Mary know? Did Mary know the eventual significance of her son, the salvation that she was going to bring to the world, that he was going to bring to the world? But the lyrics also ask Mary to see into the future, and did she know the future? Did she know the future in the conversation that she had with the angel Gabriel? In the question, how can this be, that Mary asked, I am a young maiden, is there room for more dialogue? Did the angels give Mary a vision of the future? We don't really know. Of course, the lyrics that we are talking about here come without some controversy. They're not, as some see it, biblically correct. And those that are on the conservative end are more concerned about that. They claim that they asked questions that she had no way of knowing, and about her looking into the future. We as Christians, or at least some of us, take great cultural liberties on how we celebrate Christmas. We don't all celebrate Christmas the same way. We take a lot of liberties and a lot of freedoms. And the song takes literary license with the story, and for some of us, that's okay. And for me, it's okay. I think it's okay to read within the words of Gabriel to Mary the idea that she may have been shown a lot more things than were written in the text. In the Sojourners magazine that I get, it's a monthly magazine, a Christian magazine, there was an article entitled, Advent, Hearing God in the Female Voice. And I want to read a little excerpt from it, just a couple little paragraphs, if I can find it here real quick. And it was written by Joe Kay in 2017, so it's an older article. Then and now, those female voices are widely ignored, marginalized, and muted by those who think that only males should be heard. The Jesus story turns all that upside down. It places women front and center, right from the start. Mary's role is shocking in a time and a place when only men made the big decisions and women were treated more like property than persons. That's only the beginning of this theological, racial, and socially subversive story. Luke's version has Mary visiting her relative, Elizabeth, uniting two strong women in a divine moment. Mary preaches about God's passion for justice in a way that her son, Jesus, would later repeat, which is no surprise. I want to talk about the feminine for quite a little bit, and I want to also look at the text in which when Mary had the visitation from Gabriel, and she went to visit Elizabeth, and the child that was in Elizabeth's womb was about, it jumped. It was called the quickening, as probably some of you know what quickening is. So that was very important in the times of old when we didn't have the technology we have today. So when the baby moved, we knew the woman knew that life was in them and that the life was alive. But I think this moment here is a much more richer and deeper than what we generally overlook. At least in my upbringing, it was basically overlooked. But it was Elizabeth was with John the Baptist for about 6 months when Mary got a visitation from the angel Gabriel. Both were visited by Gabriel. And the messenger, Gabriel, told her that she would, at some time in the future, the Holy Spirit would hover over her and she would become pregnant with the Christ child. And this is the moment in which Mary, soon after that, says, after that time, meaning a short time after the visitation, she went to see Elizabeth to tell her the news. And she went in, and as she entered into the house to greet Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth, and she spoke in a loud voice. And she blessed Mary among all women. But at the same time, her child moved within her, quickened within her. I see this point in which Mary became pregnant at this point. This is when the Holy Spirit, this moment of time in which the Holy Spirit moved over both of these very strong women of their day. And they were, and I don't mean to put them down, they were kind of average women too. Both of their husbands were average people, just average people in which miraculous things happened to. And this is where I place the pregnancy of Mary. And she stayed there with Elizabeth for about 3 months before she left. And this, to me, is a very important part of the whole story. But I think as Christmas comes and goes, we do forget the importance of the female voices. The female voices that come from long time ago. There's a long history of barren women who the angels and God has touched, and they produce a child of very importance. And so if you know the history of the barren women, when it comes to Mary, you wouldn't, and the virgin birth, you wouldn't be that surprised, because you would realize that there's a long history of barren women who were later given a child and they become pregnant. Now, I know there's somebody in here is probably thinking the males may have a problem, and that was the problem. And it wasn't just a woman. So I'll get that out of the way right off the bat. But the story does say, and in some cases, the males had, like in the case of Abraham, he had a child from his slave woman or helpmate. And so we know that there wasn't necessarily a problem. But not every story has that. The first one is Sarah. She had she was a barren woman, and she had Isaac, who had who became a famous man, a warrior in the Old Testament. Rebecca, who had Isaac and Jacob. These were two very important men in the story of the Old Testament.
Was all this in the Bible, or are these separate books?
No, these are in the Bible. These are all in the Bible. Rachel, who was one of Jacob's wives, was barren, and she later had Joseph. Samson's mother, who is not named, she was barren and went on had the Samson. Hannah, Samuel's mother, she was barren and went on to have Samuel, who was a great leader. And Elizabeth, who had John the Baptist, she was barren also. So there's a long history along the way of, by the time you got to Mary, and if you didn't understand all this back here, this long history of strong women who were dedicated and who had dedicated their child and their offspring for a special purpose. God touched them in a way that that we may not quite understand, but there, without getting into the scientific details of it, it is possible for women to become pregnant on their own. There is that, that happens kind of rare, and some of the cases you have to be looked into, but it does happen. So if you want to look at it scientifically, yes, it does happen, research it. But it is rare. But it does happen.
You're saying they didn't have human fathers?
No. Well, I've done the research, so whatever you want to, it doesn't matter. It's okay. But
you believe it yourself?
Yes, I think it's possible, yes. I think it's possible for women to become self-impregnated without any intercourse, yes.
The only, in another species, when that happens, they're always female.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the miracle here.
The miracle is that she had a male.
Right.
Yeah, right. There is a miraculous thing that happens. I think the idea that angels or a messenger has communicated or touched the female is something that our modern minds don't want to really get around. And no matter how you use the term messenger, angel, God, in some cases aliens, you know, however you want to look, terminology you want to use, the idea that somebody out there came in here and touched the woman and she became pregnant is all through the Bible. So however you want to accept that story, that's okay. And I know there are some opinions around here that float around that are a little kind of different, but that's okay. But the idea that the feminine, in the stories of the women that I gave you that were barren, what do you remember? Do you remember the women and the story that went behind the man who became famous? Or do you just remember the famous man? You generally will remember the famous man and the woman, and the angelic touching of the woman is forgotten and pushed in the past. That seems to be the case. We don't remember that. And so I think there is a big pushback as far as the feminine. And I believe that without the long story of the feminine, we would not have Christmas or Easter. I think that's not possible. And I do agree with the article that Jesus pushes forth the feminine aspect that has been pushed behind for a long time. And I think in an effort, one of the reasons that it gets pushed back is in a rush to get to the top or to make God a single point, and then so we in effect make God a male at the single point, in which we should not do. So by doing so, we push back the feminine. But I believe that there has to be a co-equalness in the two. That there is, and even now, as we move towards equality, there seems to be this rivalness against the male. I see that as not really what should happen. There should be a co-equalness, a cooperative equalness. It's not rushing to a single point. We don't need that single pointness. God is not a single point. God is an infinite. Elohim, the many, which I talk about in Genesis how many messages ago, which I'll eventually get back to in the times coming ahead. It is not woman or the feminist in the elitist. It's feminine. It is the feminine that is to be in all of humanity. All of us, male and female, have to take on a feminine aspect. We must change within. We must look at things differently. We must see beyond what you see in the surface. When I see as a female, you as a male. There has to be this co-equalness that comes together. Yes, the story is told through a woman, but it must not destroy the male, as in revenge, in its quest for equality. Destroying the male makes the female male, changing nothing, because in order to avenge the female must take on male characteristics to do so, thus changing the female. Again, you're trying to strive to get a single point, and that's not what should happen. We see it today. How many, I hear often, well, I can do anything a man can do. That's not what should happen. There's a...
You know, they've had to fight to prove their worth, you know, and so if you're taking it the wrong way, I think that's your problem. I don't think we do it as an act of revenge against the man. We're just saying, we can do it.
Actually, I did four things that no man can do.
Yeah, and I don't think it's really, we had to fight and scream to be heard.
But what I'm saying, in this effort of doing that, you somehow lose your individualness as feminine. You take on a male characteristics of fight and flight, that type of, males have a tendency to be more aggressive. So what I'm trying to point is, I understand your point, but I think the feminine should be on its own and represent itself in its unique way, in an equality way, in an equal way. Not try to bump somebody else off. Or it should be cooperative. Women have a lot to offer.
But men have to listen to us first, and that's the problem.
There's a lot of problems.
Yeah. That's why they have to fight and scream, and then you say, oh, look at that hysterical woman. You know.
Are you coming from the point, like maybe that when we die, we're all equal, men and female?
Yeah, well, eventually we're going to be all equal anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about a little of it while we're alive?
The what?
How about a little of it while we're alive?
Well, we're struggling to get there. I mean, obviously we're struggling to get there. And I understand what you're saying but in the process, I think the feminine is kind of losing some of their uniqueness. I want to see them bring to the table their special uniqueness of compassion and love and understanding and appreciation, which males don't seem to have as much, generally speaking. What I'm trying to say is you don't have to prove the males nothing. If you stand for what you stand up for and generate what you are, you will be recognized.
No, I don't agree with that. No. Because somebody else act like they don't even hear it. Talk right over you and then go on. I mean, there was that one movie about a journalist or something.
You must have figured
that out. No, I knew this would generate something. but I also believe it's very important to bring up in this Christmas season, because it is when the female is lifted up. It's beginning the process of being lifted up. And I understand how in this physical reality, competition and strife, in order to get to the top. But what is the top? What? Where are you trying to go? Yeah, I understand. But if you're gonna beat up on the male, is that gonna solve the problem? Can't you have a light of your own in which eventually it shines brightest?
And you won't hear us, and so we
I only use them words to illustrate my point. That's all. I'm not saying, huh? Yes. That's, I want to look at it more in a spiritual sense, not necessarily in a physical sense.
Right, in a spiritual sense, God is both.
Yes. Yeah, so we're all spiritual beings.
Right.
Yes. I agree. But we have certain character, spiritually, we have certain characteristics.
Right.
So, yes, we are to complement in a co-equal way. One does not have to annihilate the other in order to shine. It's like sitting around a table. Okay, so then you add diversity of ethnicity. Okay, this is where we're at again. You start adding diversity around the table of ethnicity. There's not one light that shines. And that's what we're struggling from. Even in this nation, we're struggling for that ethnicity of brightness around a table. Not just one single light. In oneness we are to come together. Not in the sameness. In our differences we are to come around together and thus the light shines brighter. And that's what the Christmas story is about. I think, or one aspect of it is what I'm trying to point towards. Yes, In the reality of the real world, in which you're out there in the business world, it is tough. There's competition even amongst males. There's competition everywhere. But in a spiritual sense, we are to be co-equal. The Genesis story in the beginning says that he made male and female, a balanced unit. Now, is that just one unit, male and female, or is that two separate units that he created?
One unit.
One unit. So it can be both male and female. So why do we always say male and female? Why don't we say female and male? That was another thing I wrote. I figured somebody would pick that up, but they didn't.
Because males always have to come first. Well, they did.
But why is the masculine of God put first versus the woman?
Just like an envelope, Mr. and Mrs. Mr. is always first.
Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know. We'll change it. I know why. When I sign a card, I say, Colleen, we have
to
sign first.
I don't use titles and female comes first.
Yeah, me too.
There's a problem with the language and use of pronouns, because we don't have a good pronoun that is not gender specific except it, and we don't usually use that pronoun to refer to humans.
I think it depends on the speaker who is speaking, whether or not it's male first or female first. Maybe?
I think it has to do with like spirit and spirit is more masculine and the physical being the female. I mean, it's deep, but...
So we see the male aspect first, the physicalness of the male first, and then we see the more internal, spiritual, feminine.
Yeah.
I think that's a way of looking at it, too. But we have to get away from this competition between male and female in order to get to where I want to go. You got to forget that, like I said in the Genesis story. When I say wisdom is woman, don't puff yourself up and think that you're smarter than the male. That's not what the story is about.
Even though we are.
Yes. I know, but men puff their selves up to begin with over us. And that's the problem. Men have to learn to, okay, we be respectful of that and listen and know that. I mean, and then you wonder why we yell at you. I mean, nobody hears me in the house a lot until I said it for the third time and yelling. And then it's like, oh, she's mad. We better listen.
I've got a nephew who has, from
males have a lot of problems. In the physical reality, males have a lot of problems. I will be the first to admit that. And we have a long way to go. But recognizing it is the beginning of change.
Well,
bringing the female aspect up.
You don't count matters by saying women, you know, want revenge back. When it's up to you to listen and be respectful at the beginning of a female.
I see the revenge part when they say, I can do anything a man can do. I would rather hear them say, I can do it my way. Why are they competing with men?
Why does that bother you?
Yes.
You know, we never say...
It doesn't bother me.
We never say we can do anything a woman can do.
No, we don't dare say that.
Listen, there is one thing you can't do.
Well, I don't know. Science is getting around to changing that, too.
I think God made both genders for some good reasons.
In the spiritual understanding, in the spiritual reality, we have to look at them as similar, co-equal parts of each one of us. Now, I don't care. Not every woman is loving and compassionate and understanding and you know, just meek and mild. And neither is every man aggressive and not understanding of women and what have you. There is a balance between the two. We are on a seesaw inside of us, this constant struggle within ourselves. It's within ourselves in which this both is. Not necessarily, just because I use words such as competition and revenge, it is somewhat inside of us in which we don't know which side we want to articulate. We balance itself. How do we reach out? Do we be meek and mild, or do we come out in a loud voice? Each one of us have that. And the Christmas story brings that up in a more co-equal way in which I see it. Not in an elitist way, but in a co-equal way. The male and the female must be and remain co-equal, but separate. Spirits and energies or souls in balance within our garden. We have to maintain some type of balance. It's not woman and man, it's within us, this balance that goes on, each one of us. There is a oneness that must remain in the separate co-equalness. Not singleness. We are to create a balance or a blend of female and male? Or are we to use the two sides of our brains, male and female, as separate sources in which we draw from as we need? Either way, it remains this internal struggle within each one of us. Every one of us are. I see the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph and their sons represent the Genesis story. When the male and female, or the masculine and the feminine, become one in their sons, John the Baptist and Jesus. If all we see is the outer male, then we need to change our point of focus.
I like your point that duality is in everyone.
Yes.
And that it is at odds at times within
yes.
itself. And I think the key that our current society is missing in making an effort to see things that way.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Because this one is Germanic language. I have a scattered brain all over the place that he calls French Impressionism. And when we put the two of them together, we come out with a pretty good product.
Yes.
But we have to start out at quite a divergent pattern.
Yes.
And we've had to learn how.
improve that project.
So what?
They come out better as a result of our spasticity, but it takes effort, and it takes a certain amount of respect to say, you know, which way we're going to lean this time.
That's what marriage is about.
And I think that's what life is about.
Life, yes. They're both there. Maybe our seesaw is like this or it's like this, but we're trying to strive to keep it in a balance.
But the fulcrum,
yes,
has to be respect, and that seems to be the thing that we're having the most trouble with right now.
We are. We're lopsided on both sides. So Christmas and Easter, I include them both, cannot be without lifting up the feminine. I firmly believe that all together. So Christmas is wisdom, born anew in Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus as a baby from his mother into the world that is male. To let it live, balance and harmony, love and peace must be lifted up. I ask the question, Mary, do you know? Did Mary know? Do we know? Merry Christmas.
Thank you.